Loving that music. Loving it. Almost started dancing. Welcome to Toilets to Titles Down Under Dynasty Edition, episode 27. I'm your host yet again, FF Doormat. With me today is the fantastic at Mark Bullers here. How are you today, Bull?
Yeah, good. Going for a weeknight again this week, but it's good to be here.
Nice. A bit of sun out our way too, which is a bit strange, you know, summer, and it's strange to have a bit of sun. So that's Australia for you this summer.
Yeah, it's we're watching winter football in America, but we're hanging out on 33 degree days here in Sydney. So
yeah, a little bit strange. Yeah, we got Saturday football this week, which is even better, right? How was a couple of good games too? I think Pats Colts is on at a decent time. The other one's a bit early, but it's Saturday, right? So,
yeah,
gonna love that. Today I just thought I'd do a quick shout out to our captain, Mr. Ben Doeven, live from the Ben. He's not with us today. He's had a little bit of bad news. His beloved pet Dexter, man's best friend, you know, he lost him a few weeks ago, he's just taking a bit of a break. So I just want to shout out to Benny. He's the main driver behind Talks and Titles Down Under Edition. He's the one who got me up and going and sort of pushed me to do it. Without him, I wouldn't have done it. And it's not really the same without him. It's good doing it as a twosome, but I think we're better as a threesome. So I know you're going through a bit of a tough time, Benny. So just sending out some love to you, mate. Hope you're feeling a little bit better soon and there's better times ahead.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, there's those little things in life that are more important than football. And, you know, fantasy football community that I've been fortunate enough to be involved in for a couple of years now before I've joined you guys, it's a fairly small community, and there's been a number of moments this year that have been pretty sobering and just remind us that there is a little bit more, you know. We're going through playoffs at the moment, and I mean, I went through a meltdown the other day on a league that I didn't think I could lose, but at the end of the day, there is stuff that's more important than football, and I think we just need to keep that in mind. I mean, at the end of the day, you saw, you know, a guy like Demaryius Thomas, 33 years old, he's a whole year older than me, pass away during the week with complications, and, you know, it really makes you sit there and take notice that there are things bigger than a game that we play.
Yeah, definitely tragic news, wasn't it? He would have been on my rosters just, you know, a couple of years ago. Wasn't that long ago. He's winning championships and winning games. Terrific player. And just tragic news. But that's the world we live in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's important at these times too to just, take a minute to reflect and take a time out and then just draw some joy where you can, try and enjoy life as much as you can in the limited time that you have sometimes. Let's move on to bigger and better things. And hope you're back with us soon, Benny, feeling a bit better.
Yeah.
Bit of news this week, Bull. I don't know if you've heard, a little bit of COVID going around. 37 players tested the last 24 hours, I think 72 or so in the last 48. Crazy, crazy times. Hopefully, it's not a major impact. I think Beckham's out. I know some of the, if you're in protocol, you can test negative and get out. But if you're actually positive, it's probably a little bit different. So I'm pretty sure that Aldo Beckham's out. I think the Rams have sort of dodged a bullet. Cooper Kupp, Stafford look okay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully you've got a bit of depth on your squads if you're in those playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest thing. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of squads that are left scrambling this week. Rams have shut down their facility, and I think Cleveland's got a little bit of an outbreak now as well. So, now that's the hard part, where even if you do own, you know, the handcuffs at the moment with the situation in for the Rams, there's no point owning the handcuff because chances are they've been in the same room as everyone else. So realistically, your only hope is that, you know, some of those players do get, you know, back-to-back negatives and they do get on the field this week. But, you know, obviously with those that have tested positive, Odell, and, you know, I think there's 37 that have tested positive, I think was the number that I saw earlier today. Like, they're obviously going to be out this weekend. And, you know, what that actually means for a lot of people that were relying on, you know, the wide receiver one. And, you know, I think Matt Stafford's about the QB eight. So, you know, there were plenty of teams riding him into the playoffs.
Fingers crossed. I think we've been pretty fortunate this year. Last year we had the Denver situation with the whole QB room out. It was Denver, wasn't it? Yeah. This year we've been pretty fortunate. So hopefully a couple more weeks to get through it all and we'll be okay. But bigger picture, you know, it's just a game we're playing here, right? So obviously this is we're just talking about a bit of fun, a bit of fantasy here, but hopefully the players will recover well too. And hopefully your leagues don't have trade deadlines. This is the perfect scenario where you want a trade deadline, right? I made a couple of moves in one league. I got a Barkley share. I got Devonta Freeman. Cost me nothing. You know, I'm feeling a little bit happy. I got that depth there. He might only get me 10 points, 12 points. But it's going to be better than zero. So another case for not having trade deadlines in your leagues.
Yeah, I think if you're relying on any, if you know you're into that last, you know, four or six teams at this point of the season, go and click, like, literally open the standings, click every team that hasn't made the playoffs, and any aging player coming off contract, Donta Foreman, Devonta Freeman, Marvin Jones, any of those guys, if you can get them for a third or a fourth, now's the time to go and spend it. And, you know, even the Russell Gages of the world, like, if you can get him for, I think he's, there were a lot of people that got burnt because he had that 0 point week a couple of weeks ago where, despite paying, I think, 79% of snaps, he didn't see a target. He's put up double-digit fantasy points the rest of the week. So if you can go and get him for a late second, literally just open up everyone's roster and shoot out trade offers, because you don't want to be the person sitting there when that trade comes through in the group chat and you go, oh, I would have paid more for that. Like, proactive.
Especially if it's that late. Second too, right? You don't mean late second, or if it's a third, late third, which, you know, it doesn't look like a massive difference between, you know, late seconds, early and early thirds. In this year's draft, I think it's pretty deep draft. Not a lot of quality at the top, but a little deep squads. Another player I'm targeting is Berrios. I think he got 10 targets last week. Corey Davis is out for the season. I think Elijah Moore is out as well.
Yeah,
so he's someone you could cheap pick up, probably even cheaper than those guys, right? Probably, I think I'd be happy to flip him for a third if I have him. So I'll be making that move. And even Najee Harris is pretty old too, Bull. So I think you might want to ship him to me and Kraken, mate. I'll take him off your hands. You just got knocked out, so I know you don't like running back. So I'm happy to give you a couple of seconds for him if you.
not gonna happen. But even guys like Ben Roethlisberger, like, if you can go on, if you're in a super flex league, go and get, you know, he's they're probably going to trail for the next couple of weeks, so he's going to be throwing the ball around. You can probably get him for pretty cheap.
It's put up a couple of 30 point games, right? Like, it's people are sleeping on how good he can be, and it's going to cost you a lot less than someone else.
It's ugly, but you know, he has also only said that he's going to be out of Pittsburgh at the end of the season. So, you know, if you can go and get him for a third and, you know, maybe you get another year out of him next year as a bridge quarterback somewhere, you know, Taysom Hill, he's going to run around, but he's going to get you some points. It's a pretty safe floor there if you're starting him.
Hopefully you're in one of those leagues where you don't get minus points for interceptions. There's a few of those. We're in. I think I've got Daniel Jones in one of those leagues. So look at your settings. But I don't mind that move either. Taysom's a good pickup.
Another one that's probably not a bad dart throw and, you know, might even be sitting on the waiver wire is Rashad Penny. I was the RB1 this week out of nowhere. So he's probably going to do enough over the next couple of weeks to convince Seattle to not draft a running back, and then next season he'll go back to being a pumpkin. But you know, if you can go and get him for a third, or if he's on the waiver wire, he's worth a grab.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've held him in a couple of spaces. I think most leagues he'll probably be rostered, right? But if he's not, that's a move you make. What about Duke Johnson? He's looking like the lead guy in Miami. I think everyone's out. Most of our squads are pretty deep, you know. Are you chucking all your fab on Duke if you're a contender? If your fab doesn't roll over, it's now or never sort of thing. Is that a move you're making, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a move I'm afraid to make. Like, you've got to sit there now and go, what, you've got 3 weeks left. Like, you're not going to get too much of a better opportunity. If, you know, even if you're in a league where your fab does roll over, you know, even just try and use your fab to buy players in a trade. Like, if you're trying to get someone for a third, you know, if you're trying to get an Adrian Peterson for a fourth or something like that, you know, don't be afraid to go, I'll give Adrian Peterson, you know, my fab. Because those teams that are rebuilding, they're also going to be looking on the waiver wire for those young players that, you know, were third and fourth round picks that have been cut to make way. So, you know, don't forget that if you are, you know, that fab is a tradable asset. And, you know, if you are a rebuilding team in a league where it rolls over, I know a lot of mine are, go and try and get some extra fab, because next season it's going to help you get those James Robinsons when they blow up.
100%. I like that. And if you're not in the playoffs, you know, you're not a contender, start shipping those trades out, right? I think I'm in a number of leagues. One league last year, the championship team, he had no quarterbacks, didn't start a quarterback. I had 4 or 5, offered him several trades, didn't get a counter, you know, and they were pretty balanced trades. It wasn't selling Kyle Murray, just some older vets, you know, and I just don't understand that. If you've got an older player in your squad and your squad's not competing, just move those guys, you know, don't be afraid to pull the trigger, take a bit of value loss if you need to. You shouldn't have to, right? This is the time you should be able to squeeze people. But even if you're taking a loss, at least you're getting those older guys off your squad. Good luck selling DeAndre Hopkins next year if you have him rostered.
But I think that's the thing. Like, you know, it's easy at this time of the year to get caught up and go, oh, like, you know, a guy like Marvin Jones is probably worth an early third. You know, I'm only getting offered a late third and a fourth. You know, that late third and a fourth is better than nothing. And, you know, if you can accumulate 2 or 3 of those thirds, you know, you might find that team that is willing to package up a couple of those thirds for a second. And all of a sudden, you know, Marvin Jones has just become, you know, a young wide receiver that's worth taking a shot on. Because this year's draft class, you know what, it doesn't have the clear studs. I think we've been spoiled the last 3 draft classes where we've had real clear studs coming in. But there's, you know, probably a dozen wide receivers coming in in this class that if any of them became a wide receiver one, you wouldn't be surprised. You know, even guys like, you know, John Emery Jr. and stuff like that, that are probably going to be available in the second round of your draft. They were Debbie Darlings and were, you know, RB1s, you know, 2 years ago. So they're still going to be worth a dart throw in that second round. That this is probably the year that, rather than, you know, wanting, you know, early firsts, it's probably the year that you want 3 or 4 seconds to give yourself the best chance that, without a clear stud, go and try and accumulate those seconds and thirds and just give yourself as many bites of the cherry as possible.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty deep class. I've got a lot of value in that second and third round. Just back to Marvin Jones, you know, he might only be worth X amount now, but next year he's going to be worth less, right? And the main thing is, if you're not a contender, if you're rebuilding, all Marvin Jones is doing is most of our leagues and most good leagues are the player spots, potential points, right? So all he's going to do is just give you a worse draft pick in 23 when we do have that. A lot of hype already about that class. As there always, it seems to be that, you know, 1 or 2 years in advance. But yeah, I'm looking to make that move as much as I can just to get that earlier pick, right? That 101, start plant it for it now in Dynasty. You know, it's never too early to start that rebuild. Just on a bit of news, I think the favourites for the Super Bowl came out. It was Tampa Bay versus Pats, which I think the world will burn if that happens. I'll be a little bit torn, be doing a little dance for both sides. But in all seriousness, I think there'll be a mass demonstration if somehow that does happen. What's your take on the Bull? Who are you predicting? And what are you? Is that good football? Is that something made of nightmares or dreams?
I mean, it's good fear. I don't know whether that's going to be the best football game, but I certainly think it'll be good theatre. I think there's probably teams playing better football than Tampa and New England, but I think they're probably the teams with the rosters most ready to play playoff football. Baltimore is banged up. You know, Lamar, he's got an ankle sprain. You know, when is he back? They, you know, for a guy that, you know, relies on his legs, this is probably the worst case scenario. You know, because if they rush him back and it goes wrong, all of a sudden he's missing next year and, you know, part of next year. And so they're going to be pretty cautious, but they're also going to want him back out there. Buffalo looks like they've imploded. Tennessee, you know, they haven't been what we thought they were going to be. Those teams that were set up to run the ball, you know, 30 times a game in playoff football, they're starting to implode. So, you know, but then you've got a wily old fox like Tom Brady, who even though, you know, he thought they were going to lose it the other day, once again, led them down the field, tore them apart, systematically ended up, you know, going 80-something yards and game-winning touchdown, as we've seen him do so many times before. And then you've got Bill who, you know, against all odds, like I wrote them off after, you know, before the season, I didn't think they'd be near the playoff picture. I thought both Miami and Buffalo were going to be well ahead of them. But to Bill's credit, you know, he's put a team together that has the ability to win games and win tight games, which is what it's going to take.
It's pretty ugly football, isn't it?
But both those teams have the ability to play ugly football. Like, I think Tampa's set up to beat Bill. The thing that Bill does is he takes away your best weapon. And the only problem is, who's Tampa's best weapon? If you take away Godwin, Evans is going to eat. If you take away Evans, Godwin eats. If you somehow manage to take away both of them, all of a sudden you've got AB and Gronk and, you know, or Leonard Fournette running the ball up the guts. Like
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, you've got Cameron Brate, who sneakily is the fourth lead, you know, the fourth highest touchdown scorer for Tampa all time. So, right. You know, he's the tight end too. Like, so even if they double team Gronk, like, two tight end sets, you've got a guy who can, you know, get the ball in the end zone. Like, I think it's a team that's set up to beat Bill. So it'd be good theatre. I don't know whether it'd be a good game. Like, my money would be on a rather large Tampa win.
Where's your heart?
My heart as a Pats fan is with Mac Jones, but, you know, watching what Brady's doing at, you know, however old he is now, feels like he's about 104, but watching what he's doing, you can't not be in awe. Like, there was a pass, you know, they were watching the early slate of games. They were talking about Herbert's arm and they were talking about Josh Allen's arm and everything else. And then, you know, 45-year-old Tom Brady throws an absolute dart into the back corner and Mike Evans, you know, has a reception that's, you know, arguably the reception of the season. For a touchdown and,
yeah. Yeah, he's MVP candidate and you know, they all love a bit of Brady, even when he's not that good. So, he's probably going to be thereabouts. I think I saw a tweet going around today. He's first in pass attempts, first in pass completions, First in pass yards, touchdown passes, his first. Passing first downs, his first. Total EPA, his first. QBR, his first. DYR, DVOA, his first and first at the age of 44, would you believe it? Unbelievable. I think you're probably right there. I don't think the Pats can get there. I hope they do. I hope I'm wrong. But there's probably better teams, rosters than them. But I'm sure if they did, Bill would be out there doing a little rain dance. I'll be out there with him doing a rain dance, bit of a snow dance, anything, get the lightning, the thunder, the tornadoes. Another replay of the Buffalo game would, you know, be the only sort of way I think you'd slow down Tampa.
But even so, Leonard Fournette's got the ability to rush the ball 45 times a game. We saw him do it in Jacksonville. Like,
Brady's played in a bit of bad weather too, right? So,
yeah.
You know, might keep it close, but hopefully for the rest of the NFL and the non-Pats fans, there's one or two out there. It doesn't happen.
For my mind, the only other offensive player that is an argument for, you know, MVP is Jonathan Taylor. If you're looking purely quarterbacks, most of them have struggled this year. Like, even the Chiefs have started to put it together, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes still isn't playing to the same caliber he was, you know, a couple of seasons ago or last season. Brady's probably the only quarterback outside of maybe Kirk Cousins who's having a career year.
I think Rodgers might be there, close to. Not a career year, but I think he'd be in the conversation.
Yeah, he's still been up and down. Like, he's still had far more bad games this year than, you know, outstanding games. Like, you know, for every game where he tore Chicago apart and, you know, talked trash to them, like, he's had a game where he threw four interceptions. Like,
I think Brady's still the favorite. Hopefully, I like Jonathan Taylor. Got lots of shares of him. I'd be surprised if it was a running back. Probably he should be in the conversation. But I think just that Brady factor, right? Sometimes he just turns up in the Super Bowl, and it's a victory, and you know that he's probably going to be the MVP, same as the Rams Super Bowl, right? So moving on, we're sort of talking about rebuilding rosters a little bit earlier. So I guess the question I want to ask tonight or now is, how do you know when to rebuild? You know, when's the time to rebuild? When's the time to go one more season? I think a couple of squads will pull up. We'll pull up your Will Ferry Devi League squad.
Yeah.
My Down Under Dynasty, and just look at them. So I think you mentioned already it took the loss a little bit hard. It wasn't a meltdown. It was just a little bit of a bull rant. And it wasn't much of a bull rant either. It was just, I think you just vented, mate, which is, you have to do that. It's been a bit of a, you had a bit of bad luck there. You had a stat correction loss, which sort of knocked you out of the bye, I think. You had the most points scored last year and you were close to it this year. And you just got knocked out with a bit of bad luck. So you're pushing all your chips in there. I think you are. You've got another year going, but what are you, how do you, is it just a feel depending on your squad, or when are you pulling the trigger? Does it differ from league to league?
I think it needs to be different from league to league, and you need to have a look at the assets you've got around you. Like, I've sold my picks, which makes it hard. And then you also throw in there that it's a Devi league as well. So, there's another little asset there where even if you manage to get some 2023 picks, the reality is you're probably going to be waiting until 2025 before they're in the league. So it's not ideal.
You've got a couple of superstar players there. I'll just go through your squad just quickly. You have got some massive players. You've got Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts, Matt Stafford, Superflex League, this one. You got Saquon Barkley, you got Hunt, Ingram, Sonny, a couple of Jags. You got Joe Mixon, who I think he's the RB8 in ADP. You got James Robinson. You got Gallup, Gage, Kirk, Rager. Let's never speak to him again. Schuster, Juju. And also you got a couple of superstars at tight end by the name of Travis Kelce and Darren Waller, and I think it's a tight end premium this league. So you've got out and out studs, absolutely studs all over the park. So yeah, take us through your thinking, mate. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where you kind of need to really have a look at the scoring. So that league, there's a start 11. So that in itself means realistically, you're starting players you don't really want to start. You know, I managed to get a whole heap of weeks out of a guy like DeAndre Carter and Jamal Agnew earlier in the season, which certainly helped. But you really need to have some depth there, which is going to be the biggest issue. Like, I'm probably going to be left in a position next year where I'm left to decide, do I sell Saquon for two win now pieces? Like, do I sell Saquon for, say, a Leonard Fournette and, I don't know, DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know if I'd actually get that package, but just as an example. Or do I try and sell Saquon plus a piece for, you know, a Najee Harris, a younger running back that I can build around? You kind of need to actually really have a look at where your roster's at. I've had a couple of rosters that you manage to hang on for an extra couple of years because you get lucky with a trade. I know there was one where I pulled the trigger on a sold Odell the year he went to Cleveland, and I got a package of Brady, Lamar, and I think Travis Kelce in a start two tight end league. I think I might have had to send Odell in a second or something. And I managed to hold an aging roster on for another couple of years. But, it, you know, you can't be afraid to actually just turn around and throw your hands up and say, okay, it's not there anymore. And then you need to start to evaluate what your pieces are. For some reason, people have written Travis Kelce off already. He's as old. And Darren Waller has fallen down boards now as well. So, you know, you got to sit there and go, am I going to get value for those players, or am I better off trying to cling on for another couple of years and just build around those pieces that I'm not going to get equal value for? Because there's no point selling Travis Kelce for Noah Fant in a second. You're better off trying to use next year's draft capital, or, you know, a guy like Jalen Hurts now. If I, you know, there is a trade deadline in this league, so I can't move Jalen Hurts, which is unfortunate. Because if your league doesn't have a trade deadline and you've just been eliminated, moving those guys like Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady to those other playoff teams that are still active is a really good way of doing it. You know, you start to look at someone like a Lamar who's questionable now for the next couple of weeks. You know, you can make a sneaky move like Jalen Hurts and Kareem Hunt, or Kareem Hunt's injured again. But you can move, you know, Jalen Hurts and James Robinson for Lamar, for if a team genuinely thinks they can win it. And those are those little moves that you need to be making now, if you don't have a trade deadline. But, I mean, I've done some pretty big rebuilds. Another league we're in, Kraken, the one that, you know, was the first league that Benny and I were in together, and my first proper dynasty league. I embarked on a 3-year complete rebuild. Hasn't quite got there this year. I got a little bit unlucky that I took 4 QBs in the first 5 picks I took 3 QBs in the first 5 picks along with Najee and Pitts, and probably in hindsight should have taken Jamar Chase and Javonte, but didn't. you know, but there's still time for them to come good, hopefully. But you just really need to have a look at your league and know where you're at.
Unfortunately for you, this one is a trade deadline. I think there's going to be a vote to remove it next year going forward, because it's the perfect time to move those Tom Brady, Matt Stafford shares if you can get value, right? Matt Stafford, I'm holding him if I'm not getting a good value, but Brady, you're probably taking what you can get. Look, I think your squad are sort of happy if you rebuild, because you build a bit of a monster, and I think you've got another year in you. I don't like doing it, but I'd be looking at maybe buying a Kirk Cousins for a Jalen and seeing if you get another piece, another wide receiver too.
And that's you're gonna like when you get those rosters that are at the end of their life, you do need some luck. Like, you know, I could get really lucky here that Jalen Reagor somehow manages to learn how to play football again. Michael Gallup goes to, I don't know, New England, and becomes their wide receiver one. James Robinson, gets traded or, you know, gets let go and ends up in a place where he can actually, you know, be used as an RB1, which he's proven he can be. I could get lucky there, but the reality is at some point you need to bite the bullet, and there's only so many tiers down that you can get lucky by moving a Jalen Hurts for a Kirk Cousins and a, you know, Leonard Fournette, and going again next season before those players that, you know, you keep kicking the can down the road and they're not worth it.
Yeah, definitely. You're gonna need a bit of luck too. It depends on who else is in that league too. You know, sometimes you might have a superstar squad that you're up against. So you might push your chips in there. All right, nothing more fun than a rebuild though, is there? You know, like it is generally one of the best things about fantasy football, tanking for that 101. Hopefully your leagues don't have any tanking issues or any tanking clauses, because it's great fun. Keeps it interesting, gets some good value, and it's great doing that rebuild a little bit harder in these devil leagues, as you mentioned. So mine is probably a little bit similar to yours in down under Devi. I think I've still got my picks. My squad's a bit weaker, actually a lot weaker than yours. I didn't make the playoffs. So again, Superflex start 10. I've got Dak, Herbert, Big Ben, Connor, Mike Davis, a couple other noobs, James Robinson, Singletary, Beckham, Cooks, T.Y. Hilton, believe it or not, he's still there. And Gronk and Kelsey and Johnny Smith, and this is a super tight end premium league as well. I think I've got ETN and Winston, and a couple of under-the-radar devies. So for me, I think I made a trade this year where I sold my first during the draft. And bought a veteran. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Brandon Cooks. I bought Brandon Cooks for Devi second. And maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I should have just pushed my chips in and pulled the trigger like you, but it can be hard. So I'm relying on a bit of luck here. Not feeling too good about my squad, but I am in the playoffs. I think I'm playing Benny, who's about to just cream me. He's been built a monstrous squad. I think he's had the max points scored several times this year, so I need a bit of luck, and then I'll need a bit of luck again, and then a bit more luck again. But yes, similar to you, I'm looking at pushing all my chips in. I've got Damien Harris as well. So another running back that's there. So it's only start 10, not start 11. I've got some pieces there, but they're all starting to get a bit older apart from those quarterbacks, Dak Prescott and Herbert. So look, I'll probably take a minute in your off season. Sexually based offences. That's your little.
I just opened my roster.
Yeah, that's your audio in that league. I think you scraped in the playoffs in that one too, right? You're on points scored. You got six spot. So I think we might be in the same bracket. I think I'm fourth or fifth.
I'm opposite you.
There's no way we'll face off, because I think I'm not making it through. You might make it through, but my squad's not going to. It's looking a little bit sad, limping along. Who knows in this COVID world? I should have just pulled the trigger. But being in David League, it can be a bit harder. I thought I had a few decent players there. Got some injuries in my quarterbacks. So I was planning on flipping a couple of those quarterbacks, but I just didn't do it, you know. So I had four starters at one stage, and now I think I've got two and a half with Big Ben losing a bit of value. And I think there's a trade deadline in this league as well, right? I think we can't we can't trade. So it'll probably be a bit clearer to me after the season what happens, but I think this one I'll probably try and cash out those players and start the reboot. I do have my picks, which makes it a little bit easier, but it's still a Devy league.
Yeah. Alrighty. It's going to be an interesting league to work out what happens in the playoffs. Over the last few weeks I think I managed to have the second or third highest score one week, but I've scraped in sixth. It's not a bad league. There's plenty of trash talk in this league. I think I missed the playoffs year one, and I would have outscored the team that I would have been the highest scoring team each week of the finals the year that I missed, finished seventh. So there's a little bit of trash talk there, but we'll see what happens in these weeks, because I got a feeling that I'm in for a hiding this week against Spinksy, which Spinks. is not something I want to put my hand up for, given I've seen some of his rosters.
He's done pretty well this year. He's rebuilt a few sides. I don't know what he's doing in Kraken, Benny's feet at club, I think, in Kraken, but I think in the Pirate League, he's made the playoffs of the Pirate League and this one as well. So good luck. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to admit to being beaten by Spinksy. But he's got a good squad in this league. I think he's got Derrick Henry on the IR, though. You never know.
Yeah. I think now's also a really good time to actually have those conversations with your commissioner and with your league mates about those rule changes as well. Getting rid of trade deadlines. I know all the rage at the moment is talking about tanking. It is every single year. And for my mind, the easiest way to get rid of tanking, or to make tanking not matter and encourage teams to set their best roster, which at the end of the day is all you want teams to do. If they choose to make their team bad for a year to get a good pick, to get Trevor Lawrence or Saquon Barkley or something like that, that's their prerogative. They pay their league fees. It's their prerogative how they run their team. But I think the big thing everyone wants is just making sure that they're setting their best roster each week. And they're not set, they're not starting.
What about the integrity of the league? What about the integrity of the league, Mark? Come on, think of the integrity of the league.
The easiest way to do that is to make it potential points. So yeah, you make that 100%. Bracket, you make that bracket one, worst team gets the number one. And the answer that everyone comes out with is, what happens if, what happens if the owner sells Dalvin Cook for one first and a second? And I'm like, well, he sold Dalvin Cook for one first and a second. It's his fault. If he values Trevor Lawrence higher than, the extra first that he probably could have got for Dalvin Cook, then that's on him. Every single league I'm in, there's at least one whipping boy that every single year is good for two or three trades where you're just like, come on, what are you doing? Or vice versa, we'll send you, offers. I know I had one, the Joe Burrow, for a second last year. In
smash accept, right?
No, well, that was Joe. Smash, that was selling Joe Burrow for a second. In Down Under Dynasty, that was as well.
Right.
So potential points is the easiest way to make sure that you solve that. And most fantasy sites that I've seen, Sleeper doesn't as well as it should. But MFL and Flea Flicker, which are my two preferred platforms, both have a really easy option to literally click a potential points button and it tells you the exact order of everyone. it's nice and easy. It's simple. But yeah, like potential points for draft order and getting rid of trade deadlines would be the two things that I'd recommend going and having a chat with your commissioner about, because the more action you make in the league, like, and even potential points, that's going to create a impetus for those teams to not hold Marvin Jones for forever and a day. That's going to mean that they want to sell Marvin Jones for the third because it improves their pick and it makes the other teams better in the playoffs. So it creates more action, which is what you want.
Yeah, look, I don't understand it, tongue-in-cheek, the integrity of the league. It seems to happen every time someone's unhappy with a trade or someone else getting the 101, people jump up. What about the integrity of the league? Like, this is utter garbage. Do what you want to do. You pay your money, you pay your fees. You do whatever you want to do. I don't. You can police it even if you want to. You can't really police it. The only thing to do is that potential points. Maybe I've seen some squads or some owners put out that, I mean, Scott Fish put a question mark out there, and some people said they have a weighted draft lottery, similar to the NBA. But really, I think potential points is the way to go, and there's a real art form to getting that 101. You know, it's not easy, but I think one of the leagues I'm in, the Dynasty Underdog Listener League, one of the guys is got an awesome taxi squad. He's got Jamar Chase, Javonna Williams. I think he's got a couple of stud QBs. Had the 101 sewed up after like week three or four. And then I think he even flipped it for Josh Allen and a couple of others. So, you know, that's the way to do it, potential points.
Yeah. I mean, and that just creates smarter owners. I mean, I know everyone throws out there like, oh, collusion and everything else. And I mean, I think I'm in about 20 leagues. I've been in about 20 leagues for the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I've been playing Dynasty probably seriously for 5 or 6 years now, like properly seriously. And I don't think I've ever actually seen a trade that's made me go, that's collusion. So I don't know who all these people are playing in leagues with. Because I'll be honest, like I join leagues with strangers off the internet just like anyone. You know, but I've never seen a trade that's made me go collusion, and maybe I just have distorted views of players and they seem fair, or maybe I'm just more forgiving. But, you know, I think...
Collusion's better than terrible trades, right?
Oh, 100%. Like, I...
That's the problem. I think a lot of people see these terrible trades,
yeah,
you know, and think collusion, but maybe someone's you know, a bit of a shark, talking their players up, talking their players down.
You know, God knows, like I've been fleeced a few times this year. Like one of the guys, Lewis FF Down Under, who runs the Down Under Bowl, you know, an amazing charity league that, you know, raises a lot of money for some really great causes. He's just pilfered me 4 times this year. I think he's got 4 seconds out of me, you know, and I've traded a second for a player and a week later the player dies. So
Cam Newton's still alive, mate. He's starting again, you know, this week.
Yeah. So. I mean, the saving grace, I paid 2 seconds for Cam Newton and Mike Williams. So I've at least got hope that Mike Williams hasn't turned into a pumpkin yet. But you know, there's plenty of times where you could sit there and question trades you've made. Like I know, looking back at it, I sent Benny, Antonio Gibson, Chase Claypool straight after a rookie draft for a first and a second. And in hindsight, that, you know, looks terrible now. But, you know, at the time it was, I didn't believe the hype on either of those players. So I think you just got to run your team as you see fit.
Yeah, I think you got me in one. You got Diggs off me. I think I was a Diggs fan for a number of years. Unhappy with him, and I think you traded him for Odell Beckham in a second, and then he proceeded to get 7,000 targets and 8,000 receptions at Buffalo. And I think you flipped that for the 101 or something or other. So it all happens to us. I think I've been in one league where, to be honest, it might have been a little bit of a collusion. But you know, that's one in 5 years out of 20 leagues. So, you know, I think it gets thrown out too much. Sometimes there's just terrible trades, terrible owners. Like you said, there's always that one with him, boy, in the league. So if he's in your league, you can't whinge afterwards. You're the one that should be sending those trades out. Or if you get a chance, even influence the chat. You know, that's something that I've started to do a little bit more now. I won't do it if it's just a normal trade going through. But if I do see someone getting taken advantage of, I might just make a comment on the chat there. That's another way around it. Better be difference to collusion.
Yeah.
Might just take a minute to do the reads. So you can listen to the show at Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, Podbean, and in our two Facebook groups, Towards the Title and When a Family Breaks, also on Spotify. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please hit the like button and give us a 5-star review and jump on YouTube too so you can see Bull's beautiful face. Just stand back a bit if you look at my rough melon. And then also don't forget the Patreon. I think John has got a bit of a special this month for our Patreons where he's covering some buy-ins for the playoff leagues. So that'll be a bit of fun there. And you get access to TTT group chats, entry into our listener league, and also some waiver wire early access episodes too. A lot of benefits, Discord chat there. We can sort of pull back the curtain a little bit, see how the sausage is made, get some roster advice, all that sort of great stuff. Getting that down pat a little bit. I can't wait for Ben to get back on and take care of them, mate. He's a seasoned pro. He's like one of those infomercials, just rolls off the tongue. So finally, I think we've got a little bit of time left, just quickly. I think you mentioned earlier, again, that you had that bit of a meltdown, bit of a rant. Talking about winning, how much is luck? How much is skill?
I think some of it is, I think the big part, skill puts you in a position to win, but luck is what I think decides a lot of fantasy football playoffs. I've had some leagues where, you know, I've been bundled out week one after, you know, I just came up, like in Will Ferrell this week, there was 100 points put up by Dalvin Cook and can't remember who it was, who else I was up against this week, but I think there was nearly 100 points put up by two players. And there's nothing you can do with that. Like, that's just grin and smile. Like, by the same token, you know, if I play in the other game, I get through. I just happened to get super lucky and play, you know, against the Javonte Williams breakout game, Najee Harris's return to form, and George Kittle, where they put up 120-odd points between them. You know, I think skill is what puts you in a position to be in the playoffs or to have repeated success. Skill and work. But I think once you're there, it becomes, you know, it becomes luck. You know, you look at a situation right now where there's going to be teams that had Cooper Kupp all year that potentially don't have him for their playoffs. And, you know, I know we spoke about it last week where teams were feeling hard done by that, you know, they didn't have the bot, you know, playoffs might have started last week when, you know, players were on the bye. But that's part and parcel of fantasy football, especially at the moment with COVID. Like, there's going to be teams that don't have Cooper Kupp this week because Odell Beckham Jr. got COVID. You know, there's going to be people that don't have Lamar or Jalen Hurts because they're both banged up, or Josh Allen because they're banged up. It's fantasy football. And you just got to hope that your players on the right day, you know, turn up and do well. Like, you look at Cordarrelle Patterson, like, plenty of teams have ridden him to a fantasy football final series this year. You can't tell me that people thought a 30-year-old Cordarrelle Patterson, who has had 9 touchdowns in his career to this point, was going to have 10 touchdowns and be the RB4.
Couldn't run a slant in New England.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And I think we all saw that potential. That he had something special. Looked great with the ball in his hands, but I don't think he even would have rushed himself in a lot of leagues. I think it's a lot more luck than some people will admit. And a lot of these leagues, half the league makes the playoffs. Six teams out of 12 make the playoffs. Six teams out of 10, if you're in a 10-team league. Anything can happen. I was in a vampire league, multi-division vampire league. I was second overall. I was completely healthy. It was a league where you got to pick your opponent. I had the first week bye. Jumped in the playoffs feeling wonderful, feeling confident. And I lost by, it was terrible. It was terrible. I think I lost by 80, 90 points. It was over after like two games. I had the bye, had complete health, super squad, scoring max, second most points out of 30, 70 teams. Sometimes you get those players, we can't predict who the cornerback's going to mark up on or who they got the game plan that Bill's going to take someone out of the league. That's not in our control. I think a lot of it's skill to get you there. Hopefully you can get one of those buys because it takes a bit of luck out of it. But those final two matchups, it depends who's better on the day.
Yeah, I mean, your better commissioners will find ways to make sure that they limit the amount of luck involved. Your better commissioners will implement points for potential playoff spots for potential point for points scored and stuff like that. I know there's one league where I finished with a record of I think 4-9, and got a playoff spot because I had the most points scored of anyone, but I also had the most points against by about 400. It just worked out that every week teams turned up and just ran amok on me. And plenty of commissioners will say like, oh, we want the best teams in the playoffs, but there's going to be plenty of leagues that don't have a potential a points four spot. And, best team missed the playoffs despite the fact that they'd put up the most points each year. There's luck involved in all of it. And I think that comes back, I think we've probably got to the point where we can finish the podcast going full circle and by going, there's luck involved. There's plenty of luck involved in, this game that we play, which is based on a game. And I think that's why we all need to remember that there's more important things in life than fantasy football, because what we're doing is luck.
100%. It's luck. It's a bit of fun. It's a good game. You can play analytics into it, but there's just so much that we can't account for. NFL teams can't even get it right. A lot of good owners out there, a lot of smart people. At the end of the day, some of it's just out of our control. But good luck to everyone in their final couple of weeks. I think I've got two leagues kicking off that I commish this week, which is their playoffs. One league, I think Scotty T's already bundled me out of. Just seems to be an annual tradition. I think he's about to bundle me out another one this week too. So thanks, Scott, for that in advance. Anything else you wanted to add, Mark?
Nah, just good luck, everybody, and get rid of your trade deadlines. I've been banging that drum all off season.
Yeah, get rid of those trade deadlines, get those potential points in, and have a bit of fun while you're at it. Hopefully back soon, Benny. Catch you guys.
See you all.